All right, welcome to another episode of Epic Phelan. I, of course, am Ryan Phelan, and this week we have with us Dan Patton. He is with 7 Movements. It is a fitness company, 7movements.com. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Ryan. Good to see you again.
Good to see you again. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has, hasn't it?
What was it, Hawaii, maybe?
Yeah, we got some good stories out of there, didn't we?
Some really good stories out of Hawaii. So that's awesome. So 7 Movements.
Yes.
What is 7 Movements all about?
So 7 Movements, we are actually the company to pioneer the term microdosing movement. So we build online health programs that use exercise as a health intervention. And the way we do it is we encourage people and we show people how you can use short little bouts of 7 minutes of movement throughout your day to hit your exercise targets.
That's actually really, really cool. It kind of just reminds me of this meme that I just saw, and it kind of relates to like life goals and, you know, if you're self-employed and you're all this other stuff, but it was just such a simple picture, but it was like really prophetic. It was awesome. There was like 2 ladders, like one side by side. And there was one that had like really big rungs, right? Whereas like the first rung was like the guy would have to like almost jump to do a chin up to get it. And then the other one was like all these like little rungs, and it was like the importance of like smaller steps.
Yeah, consistency trumps intensity every day of the week. So if you can consistently do it, you're going to do much better than once a month going and blasting yourself in the gym, for example. Like, you're going to do a lot better health-wise.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember watching an interview with, I'm going to butcher the guy's name if I say it, but it's one of GSP's coaches, or St. Pierre's coaches. He was talking about how, you know, typically we train, you know, for muscle fitness and whatnot. And it's like, so you go into the gym and you'll do like, you know, maybe 10 is your maximum for chin-ups. And you'll do, you know, 3 sets of 10 and then you're burnt out. And then next week you'll go and you do 3 sets of 10. What he was training with GSP to do was to do like, okay, if, you know, 10 was your maximum, whatever George's maximum was. But he said, if 10 was your maximum, do 5.
Right.
But do that every day. So by the time, you know, if you said 10 times, you know, once a week, that's 10 or versus 5 every day of the week, you know, you're at 35, you're like, you're blowing it out of the water. Your volume is like, is way better.
You're just consistently getting better. So you're not doing this big spike and then falling and then spike and then falling. And if you want to achieve health, if that's your goal of exercise is to achieve health, that's that way you have to do it.
A lot of people I find go from like 0 to like 100, not even stepped in the gym for like 2 years. And then I'm going to go in and I'm going to do twice a day splits. I'll do my cardio in the mornings. I'll do my weights at night. And it's like, okay, like you're going like baby steps, buddy.
It's the common problem. It's a big reason we started 7 Movements, because we saw a couple things, right? We saw 4 out of 5 North Americans now don't hit their exercise targets that they need to achieve health. So that's about 150 minutes of moderate to intense exercise a week. So 4 out of 5 people, 80% of the population is not hitting that. And then if you look at the fitness industry and what they do and the programs they build and how they quote unquote teach people to exercise or get people to participate, it all was moving towards complexity. So how difficult can we make these exercises, and intensity? So how intense can we make them? And there was no like invitation into exercise for that 80% who aren't moving yet. So great example is like, if you're dude that's say 60 pounds overweight, haven't been in the gym for 2 years, really haven't been moving much, maybe work an office job, and you're like, yeah, this is the year I'm going to start exercising. You go into like a CrossFit gym and you do the WOD of the day and destroy yourself. You're just not going to be able to keep that up. We know that. Like, as a trainer and a coach, I've seen it so many times. You're not going to be able to consistently do that, and you're going to shock your body to the point where you're not going to want to go back. So what our programs are trying to do is give people a gateway into exercise and start moving well first, start moving consistently, and then you can progressively up the complexity and intensity of your exercise and do all the cool stuff that you see people doing on Instagram.
Yeah, and do the ninja, American Ninja Warrior.
Right. Well, what the fitness industry doesn't get is a lot of people don't want that. Like, they don't care. Like, I, for one, don't care if I can do a upside down handstand push-up. I just don't care. I just want to, you know, be 75 or 80 years old and still be able to walk around and do stuff that I like doing.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's kind of the goal. And that's been the goal from a 7 Movements perspective, right from the beginning. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I find before I was in the real estate industry, I was on the move all the time. Like I'm just, like I was constantly doing things. And because, you know, I was one of the few guys at the shop, you know, I'm like, so I'm always like, oh, if there's something to be lifted or if there's something, so it's like back and forth, you know, I was on my feet all day and I found, you know, I'd probably be getting at that time, I'd probably be getting, you know, nearly 20,000 steps in a day without even thinking about it. Then I go like instantly into real estate and I found I put on like a lot of weight really, really fast because I'm sitting down all day. I mean, sure, I might go show some houses. I might be up and down some stairs, but I mean, really most of the part is like sitting down, you know, doing your prospecting. And there's a relationship with that too. It's like, you can sit down and do your prospecting and prospect a couple people a day or try and do like 50 people all in one day. Right. So it's, it's consistency. Like it trumps everything. And it's like that little meme I was talking about at the beginning is very
applicable. Yeah, the crossover right across
For everything, right? You know, savings, for investing, right? For all that kind of stuff. But what I was always kind of looking for was something that I could do throughout the day, right? Because it's like, sure, I go to the gym, but in the back of my mind, I keep thinking like, man, I was on my feet all day long. So really, is this like 30 minutes on the treadmill? Like, it's good. It's not bad for me.
No.
But like, what can I do throughout the day? So is that something that Seven Movements does as well?
Yeah, actually, you're getting to the root of sort of the science behind Seven Movements and why we need to move frequently throughout the day. So right when we started our company, it was back in 2013, right around 2015, 2016, you started to see headlines that said sitting is the new smoking, right? You probably saw some of that stuff.
Oh, totally is.
So that was actually referring to a really important study that came out. It identified something really important. It basically showed that people who were exercising, so they were meeting exercise targets, but they were doing it like an hour block in the morning or after work. If they spent 8 hours stagnant or sedentary, they wouldn't have any long-term difference in their health outcomes from someone who didn't exercise at all. So that's how important moving frequently throughout the day is for your long-term health. We need to get people moving more often, just as much as we need to get them moving more or more intense or more complex or anything like that. So that's what Seven Movements does. We do a variety of different programs for different populations, but one of our most popular programs was for office workers in particular. And we basically show them how to microdose movement at their desk so they can kind of get up, do 7 minutes of movement once in a while throughout the day. And then we program it really intelligently so we can tie it to an outcome. So, you know, you're sitting at your desk and your back starts to feel sore. We've got a 7 minute back pain solution that you can get up and do. So not only are you getting up and moving, you're making that movement super relevant to the pain that you're feeling. So that's kind of one goal. And then our big launch here in January 2021 is going to be a more of an in-home on-demand platform that someone will be able to access. You'll be able to just select what day you're on and you'll have 4 7-minute microdoses in there and you'll be able to do them whenever you want kind of in the home. And we've partnered with a bunch of really cool equipment companies that we'll be building programming around. So that'll be really exciting.
That's super cool. It's definitely a different way to take it on, right? You know, it's something, I mean, even I find the online trainers right now are still very much in that, like, you know, the once a day for 45 minutes or whatever, right? And to have that movement throughout the day, I think is also important.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, don't get me wrong. All exercise is good. Your session with your trainer is good. Your session on the treadmill's really good. It's like adding a supplement. It's like taking your vitamins, right?
Yeah.
You're still going to eat food. Throughout the day, you're not just, but if you take those vitamins and you make sure that you never miss those exercise targets every day, you're going to actually find that you're moving more anyways. So one thing that we found with people who started practicing Seven Movements and doing the microdosing is as they started to move a little bit more, they started to move a little bit better, and then they just started participating in more activity because it actually felt good. Because we've got a ton of the population out there, right, where exercise does not make them feel good. It makes them feel like shit.
Yeah.
So now we want to get them looking at exercise. It's like, this is good. It makes me feel good.
Yeah. It's like, I've even heard people like, I'm not even in going to the gym shape.
That's right? Right.
Like, they gotta like, yeah, there's all sorts of things I was wanting to get back into. I'm like, okay, I just got to get back into it. Beginning of COVID, actually, I started doing my 10,000 steps at the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
It was like first thing when I get up, you know, And then that way it's like nothing has hit the fan yet, right? Yeah. Like the, you know, it's just get her done. And that worked wonders. I was about 60 pounds, from about March.
That's crazy. Hey, what a difference just a consistent habit like that can make. That's the challenge that we've found is people will be like, well, 7 minutes of exercise, that's not really going to affect me much. Like I'm not going to, but in the aggregate, as you do it every single day, it starts to add up.
Cumulatively, yeah. Like I remember years ago too, there was 20 pushups for 20 days for people with PTSD, I think.
Yeah.
I was on that. And you know, the first 20 was like, oh, geez, I haven't done pushups in a while. I was like, okay, here we go. Then I was like, okay, this is actually getting to be not too bad. So I started doing one extra every day. Yeah. And so I got to the point where I was doing 50 like in one sitting, which is like, if you said to me at the beginning of you're going to do 50 in one sitting, there was like not a chance, right?
Yeah.
It's that cumulative, like you're just continually going and improving yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's funny. It's exactly what we intend to do. Like say in January, we're launching, we're calling it the How to Build Your Ultimate Home Wellness Center. And it's going to show you which products to buy to build out your home wellness center. And then it'll have the online platform. It'll have a daily dose of micro doses of movement. It'll have four of them. Our message to participants will be complete those four doses every day. So those four micro doses, however you want. You want to lump them all into 28 minutes in the morning? Great. If you want to do one in the morning, two in the afternoon, one. But if you get that 28 minutes, now you're going to be starting to, you know, hit your exercise targets consistently and do whatever else you want to do too. Go to the gym, hire a trainer, do all that stuff.
Sure. So would you say it was something like that where I was doing that 10,000 steps? It took me about an hour and a half in the mornings. And because I don't know, if we were to split up into two 45-minute sections, would that be probably better for you?
Probably, particularly if you're breaking up prolonged bouts of stagnation, let's call it, either sitting or standing in one spot. Yeah. If you're not moving, any time you get moving is going to be super valuable. So the exercise itself is great. Like you could lump it all together. You're going to get lots of benefits from that hour and a half session. You'll get lots of benefits from breaking into 45-minute sections, but you'll get that one little added benefit, particularly if those 45-minute sessions interrupt you sitting for a really long period of time.
7 movements, you'd almost do that once every hour.
Yeah, we've got lots of people who do once every hour. We even have got some like really, really excited people who do it kind of once every 30 minutes. But like what a lot of people learn when they take the course are all these different movement strategies they can do at their desk. So then they end up sort of developing their own and they'll be like, my neck's sore. And they do like a 2 or 3 minute strategy at their desk. And then they go back to work. And then 20 minutes later, they do it again. And like they just start to build it into however their work works. Because, you know, as a real estate agent, your work day and the time you spent down, the tasks you're doing are going to be different than, say, someone at a call center who has to be like on the phone for a certain amount of time and has to take breaks that way. So
I've heard studies too, which I mean, this would be interesting to even present to businesses, because I've heard studies where by breaking up your time and having like more frequent breaks, you're going to have a higher productivity.
Higher productivity, higher creativity. So if your company's like really into innovation and creativity, it's going to really do that. Productivity for sure. I mean, you can feel it if you're someone who sits. Now, there is a bit of a caveat to that where some people like to get into a flow state and spend a lot of time like doing one task.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But again, they can figure out how to break it up that works for them. Yeah, all companies should be encouraging their employees to get up and move around like at least once every half hour, even if it's for a minute. Like, just start moving around and doing something. It can be anything. We prefer 7 movements, but it can be anything.
Yeah. No, it has to be 7 movements.
It has to be. That's all you can do.
That's all you can do. Yeah. What inspired you to get into this?
Well, I worked as a personal trainer health and exercise coach, let's say, for like 15, 16 years now. But really it started, I was trained out of a gym. It's kind of like your typical 22-year-old trainer, just pushed my clients to the max and did the traditional fitness stuff and started to just notice that we had a real gap. I got into the business because I wanted people to be healthy. I thought I'd be helping them. But as the fitness industry was really growing, there was a new gym opening, CrossFit was coming, Orange Theory, spin classes, like studios were doing great. But when we looked at underlying population health metrics, such as heart disease, diabetes, all the lifestyle diseases, they were all on the rise. So you had the fitness industry doing really good and all these population health indicators showing that from a health perspective, we're doing really bad. So I'm like, okay, there's a problem here. Like fitness is clearly not correlating with health very well. So I started to, you know, examine some different ways we might be able to invite people into exercise that wasn't so intimidating. It was a little more inviting. That's when I contacted my co-founder of Seven Movements, John Sinclair from Edmonton, Alberta. Actually, he's a Sasky boy like me originally. Yeah. He's living down in Florida now.
Oh, wow.
He misses out on all the snow. Lucky guy.
Yeah.
But I asked him, because he was a great mentor in the personal training world to me, you know, I was like, what can we do with someone, you know, who's just starting out? And then I was like, well, listen, like say I had my grandma, right? She was, I don't know, 70 something at the time. And she was a gardener. And I was like, there's no way I get grandma into the gym, nor do I really want to. She'd probably hit me with a shovel if I asked her to, but could I give her something that would help her move better in the garden? And how long would that take you to like create something? And he's like, I don't know, probably like I could give her like a 7-minute routine that she could do before she gets in the garden. And I was like, ah, okay, let's do that. And that's kind of how Seven Movements came along. And that was kind of the first little intervention. We wrote a book called Seven Movements to Keep You Gardening for Life. Then we wrote a second book, Seven Movements to Keep You Pain-Free and Healthy in the Office. Then just kind of progressed into the digital age. And now, like you say, we've sort of coined this term of microdosing movement.
Yeah, I really like that. You said it a couple times. I'm like, I like
that. Yeah, microdosing movement. Most people understand that now. And we're just looking at all these different practical ways we can bring it into people's environments. So when we looked at the office space, our very first rendition of that program, we ran it out. It was all 7-minute stuff that you could do at your desk. However, we didn't program it intelligently. We didn't make it practical for that desk worker, like who might be wearing dress clothes or if you're wearing a dress or a skirt or something. So we learned a lot from that failure and did the second sort of 2.0 version and made it super practical. So now we've got this whole office program where it's like, yeah, we're in dress clothes here. And
you know, over the years, I've always kind of been looking for something like this. And, you know, for my friends that own gyms, I have one friend, he owns One for All Fitness here in Calgary. And another friend that owns a gym in High River. But I always thought, you know, like, yes, go to the gym, but if there's something I could do throughout the day, but like often I'm in a suit or dress clothes and I'm like, okay, you know, deep knee bends and yeah, I know what's going to happen there. Yeah. Split my pants. And
yeah. And we generally don't want to do anything super high intense and get all super sweaty before like meeting a client.
Exactly. Especially if you're doing it kind of like every day and you're like, oh, you know, it's something that's, you can easily create an excuse for, right?
Totally. And they did. And we learned that pretty quick. And people are like, well, I don't do it because of all the reasons you just pointed out. And then we said, okay. Well, here we're going to make it as practical as possible that you cannot screw this up. Like there's no excuse not to do it except that you don't want to.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And you're absolutely right in that our program is just such a great supplement for someone who's already going to the gym anyways, because we need to do stuff throughout the day and in the mornings and whenever we're not at the gym, we need a supplement. It's a, like say, it's like that little vitamin to the greater intervention that you're taking.
Yeah, I kind of like always been a healthy mindset, but like what my body was doing and what I was actually doing for that, I went like, even since I saw you last, even I was like, I got really unhealthy. Like it was just, I didn't realize it was like always, you know, stopping in for fast food, you know, living the busy lifestyle. And I just looked at it. I'm like, wait a minute, this is like no good. Everything has to change. And I'm like, where do we even start? And so that's where I started with like the 10,000 steps. And I was saying to some of my friends that it is ridiculous when I think like even like how many times a day I'll put my hand above my head.
Right.
Right. Like really like, and that's, I was like maybe 5 times, like maybe I can count on one hand how many times I reach above my head.
Yeah. Right.
And that's totally it's, you think it's ridiculous, but if you, you know, for any office workers out there, think about it. You know?
Yeah, it's a really good point. And then we see the end results of that. And usually that was what I was seeing as a trainer or a coach, is like, you'd have someone come in and they wanted to quote unquote get in shape. And I had to spend 20 or 30 minutes with them at the beginning of every session just to get them moving okay, because they had spent their entire day sitting, never putting their arms above their head or bending down a little bit or anything. So yeah, it was kind of, they weren't able to have the most effective use of their time in the gym because we had to spend so much time getting them to the point where they were ready to actually participate in quote unquote performance exercise.
Absolutely. You mentioned that you had the books. Are the books still available? Or
Yeah, they're still on Amazon.
Oh, nice.
It was funny because we wrote that first book, Seven Movements to Keep You Gardening for Life. And the very first review we ever got, some guy just torched us. Like just lit us up. So,
but that's awesome though. Like, okay, so it's like, great. Okay, they're all going to be golden from here, right? Like,
that's great.
Yeah.
The little clip on old Mad TV. Do you remember Lowered Expectations?
Oh, Lowered Expectations is amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, this guy just ripped us a new one. So that was pretty funny. And then actually we got lots of good reviews on that book too. And then, but I still remember that feeling getting the first one. I'm like, ouch. Oh shit. That stung. You know, whenever you're innovating on anything, there's going to be pushback on what you're trying to.
Oh, definitely. There's always the critics, right? Which is amazing. It's like, yeah, keep doing it. And if you're always improving, that's the main thing. But
that's what you want.
And you're coming from like an amazing place, right? To help people, right? And if
yeah, we've gone nice and slow. Like we've just sort of slowly figured out what works for people and just taking our time, and we didn't do a big raise or anything and try and create this crazy tech product. And I'm pretty proud of that, of the way we sort of built the business slowly, took our time to understand what people needed. We're not trying to tap into an existing market of people who are already exercising. We're trying to get like new people into that space. People who aren't moving. So yeah, that's the goal, right?
Well, it's that. And I think my last guest here on the podcast was, a naturopathic doctor, and we kind of touched on this a little bit, where unfortunately we look at medicine as something we take, or you know, or any kind of therapeutics or any kind of like physiotherapy, is something that we do once we have a problem. And there's not enough preventative care and looking into like, how do I stay healthy, or how do I live a healthy lifestyle, so maybe when I do have a problem I'm able to handle it better, or maybe I don't even have that problem at all. Right.
We're living in a world that amplifies that right now, of if you've got like conditions, prior health conditions or chronic conditions, you're way more at risk to COVID that's happening right now than someone who's walking around super healthy.
That was part of my inspiration as well. I'm like, man, I'm like way overweight. I gotta like do something. Right. So, and I think even just starting small, it doesn't have to be 10,000 steps all at once. It can be, you know, you get out and you walk 10, 15 minutes, you know?
It's the first step. I always tell a story. I had a client once who, when I was talking to her, she, again, a non-mover, wanted to come in super like excited about like as we want to take on a change. And I asked her, her homework was to walk around the block, you know, once a day for the whole week, just around the block. And she's like, well, no, I want to run 5 kilometers every day. I'm like, okay, I don't think you should. Try just doing my way first. And she was like, well, once around the block, it's not going to do anything for me. Right? That was the mindset that she's in. I don't do a 5K run every day. It's not even worth doing anything.
Yeah.
That's such a damaging mindset to begin with. So we really need to focus on like, you know, everything matters. Every bit of movement you can fit into your day is going to be helpful. Forget who it was. I don't know if it's Institute of Motion or if it was one of the organizations we've worked with in the past had a hashtag called Better Beats Perfect. And I just loved it for that, because it's just like, just a little bit better every day instead of trying to like do what your favorite Instagram model or Instagram fitness influencer is doing, and just do it your own way and go slow. And you've got a great approach. Like, that's, do your steps, push-ups, start to fit some intermittent movement in. And then my big advice would be to then start participating in all kinds of different activities, harder to do right now, granted, in COVID world, and find just an activity that you love doing that involves movement. That'll be the game changer for you.
Yeah.
Once you find that thing that you like, and it might be going to the gym. Some people love going to the gym. A lot of people don't. Some people love kayaking. They fall in love with it, and they're kayaking
is amazing.
Right? So just try stuff.
Kickboxing is an amazing workout. It's tough.
Right. Do you love it? Do you love like being there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like that's the question. It's not whether it works. It's not how effective it is. Do you love doing it to the sense where, you know, you waking up at 6 a.m. to go to a kickboxing class is actually exciting versus a chore? And if it is, you found the right thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. That or soccer, like you go to the sport and social clubs, which I mean, again, right now is tough.
Yeah.
But there's light at the end of the tunnel, which is, I think, almost sidebar in a way.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, it's I really think that with the vaccines coming out and whatnot, I look at all the things that we're not doing as a society right now, like no one's getting together, or very few people are, right?
Yeah.
No one's getting together. No one's going out to Canmore or Banff or to go on hikes, really. And no one's, if they're from out of country or out of province, no one's taking flights. And this is not just like locally within Calgary and an area. This is globally.
Right.
Right. So, whether you love it, whether you hate it, oil and gas, potentially, right, and call me the eternal optimist, may have a bit of a jump.
You want to say boom? It's going to bounce back a little bit. Like, it's just no doubt once the world starts moving again.
Yeah. We just think about the amount of flights that aren't happening versus how many will be happening when all this starts moving again. The people that are driving to work, yes, there's a lot of work from home now, but there's mixed thoughts on whether it's productive or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it depends on the person. And it's an interesting thought. I don't have a very good grasp on the global dynamics of how the oil and gas market works and whether increasing flights is going to affect the type of gas that gets created. I have no idea, but to me, like it's going to be a bounce back effect around a lot of different things.
Going out the restaurants, and all that.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It'll be good. So you're out in Canmore.
Actually, I'm in Radium Hot Springs now.
Oh, you're in Radium Hot Springs now.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So we were in Canmore, we moved to Vancouver, and now we're in Radium. So
nice.
Yeah. So it's been like small town. Summer was pretty busy here, but it's been a good place to ride out the pandemic.
No doubt. You mean lots of outdoor activities and
You can get away from people quite easily and go and do stuff. Yeah. There's lots of space. So yeah, that part's been pretty nice.
And definitely have a job where you can do that. That's
well, I'm lucky. Awesome. I've worked from home from the beginning, like before the pandemic. So I'm co-founder in three companies now. I do coaching and consulting. So it just keeps me super busy and I'm working from home. So
what are your other companies that you're involved with?
Yeah. So I've got another company called Grit Performance, where we do youth athletic development. Again, it's like an online platform where we give youth athletes an athletic development plan and they can follow along on there. Actually, we're hopefully going to be doing some work with a really cool Calgary company. I can't mention them right now, but they'll be food for thought for later. And then we do youth athletic development camps as well. But COVID put a pretty hard brakes on any in-person camps this summer. So we didn't really get very far with that. And then I'm also co-founder in a company called 7 Days Healthy. And you can sort of see the link with seven. So that we're working with a dietitian out of Calgary and building some nutrition programming that just like 7 Movements makes movement simple. That one's intended to make healthy eating simple. And that's kind of the goal around those companies.
That's really cool. I went to, I had her on my podcast, Nikki Brulé. She has a company. It used to be a food truck. And her and her yogi buddies, they're all a bunch of yogis, they decided to make like a healthy eating food truck.
Oh, cool.
She said, yeah, it was just the food truck business is a tough business. So she turned it into just like a healthy, like meal planning and meal prep business. So you can like invest your money into it. And then every 3 days you go in and you pick up your next 3 days of food, right? Including breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks. And it's all like, yeah, super clean and really, really good food. So
that's really cool.
I thought it was a great idea for, you know, people that are busy like myself, where I'm like,
yeah,
I love to cook, but I just don't have the time to do so.
Right.
But she calls it a cleanse too, because she has like these little teas and turmeric drinks that are great.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a fantastic little thing. But yeah, so the dietitian side of it, that's, you know, they say abs are made in the kitchen, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Again, like our approach is a simplified approach. We don't want to throw a big diet plan at somebody. It's like, how do we start introducing healthy foods step by step? And you start consistently eating healthy. And what's interesting, you know, the most recent science that I've seen around healthy eating, which was really interesting to me, was that a lot of the health conditions that are a result of poor diet isn't necessarily from an intake of unhealthy food. It's from a lack of healthy food. So we need to start incorporating more healthy foods into our existing diet, and then we can start slowly weeding out some of the unhealthy stuff. I don't know how you feel about this, but like, I'm never going to give up certain things in my diet. One, I don't really care about abs. Two, I like to indulge in tasty things from time to time in moderation. And if I have a diet plan that doesn't allow me that flexibility, I'm not interested in it, because I'm not changing that part about my life.
Yeah.
I like to go have a beer with buddies and have some dry ribs once in a while or whatever. I can't have chicken wings. I'm allergic, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're trying to take 7 days healthy, is how do we, again, invite people into healthy eating without it being like a huge smack in the face of, like, you got to change everything tomorrow.
Yeah. And that's totally what it is. And I know some people are big on the calorie counting and all that. And I just find if you start eating better, you eat less junk. Like if you're eating super clean, if you get to the point where you're eating very clean, it's almost hard to eat enough to really be that bad, right? Like if you're vegging it out, right? Like,
yeah, once you start eating better and moving better, you just kind of naturally gravitate towards healthier behaviors in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't become like this like thing forced upon you that you have to sacrifice for.
Yeah.
Because that wears thin down the road. Like after 8 months of depriving yourself, you start to look at forward and you're like, well, hey, I like this. I want to have a pizza on a Friday night once in a while. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to do that now. And unfortunately, the problem with a lot of diet plans, you just get the slingshot effect of people go like 110% and then they just quit altogether and binge.
Yeah.
And then they just see like this, you know, how many clients I have had that just have gone back and forth from they've tried every diet plan under the sun. And
it has to be a lifestyle change. You really have to make that change and just be like, no, this is how I eat. And then the occasional time I'll treat myself.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And how do you make it consistent for yourself? And how you make it consistent for yourself is going to be different than me probably. So it's, how do you fit that in? I think meal planning is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And just having stuff convenient, because we're creatures of convenience.
Oh, so, absolutely.
If we can have that stuff ready,
that's my weakness.
Me too.
Yeah. It's like, and when you're hungry, it's, yeah, I just turn off all reason. It's like, oh, but there's the drive-through right there.
That's, yeah.
It's only once. You know, it's, I mean, I've said that for the last 10 meals, but it's only once.
That's great.
So
Mary Lise and I, if we find ourselves asking ourselves the question at about 4 o'clock, like, what are we going to eat tonight? We know we're going to make a bad decision.
Yeah.
So we need like the plan. It's like, no, this is what we're having.
Yeah.
There's so many interesting people doing all these cool things to help people bring in new healthy behaviors, which is exciting.
Absolutely. And so we're coming up, we're going to air here on December 18th. So really just over a week away from New Year's.
Yeah.
So people are going to want to start looking at making a change and maybe get on it now so you don't make it just a New Year's resolution.
That's right. Yeah. We know how those work out.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they're meant to be broken. Everybody knows that their resolutions are broken. So make it a non-New Year's resolution.
Yeah, don't start on January 1. Either start before or wait a couple of weeks. One of the two. Yeah.
Yeah. So where can people find you?
The big one is 7movements.com. And going to the website, you can find us on like Facebook and Instagram under 7movements. You know, we'll have connections to the other companies I'm involved with as well. But I think that's the big one. We've got the big launch coming at the end of January. We're going to be doing a few giveaways in the next month
on Instagram and
Facebook. So yeah, keep an eye on that. We'll be giving away like some really cool products that are included in our wellness station that you can build in your home.
Okay, so follow 7movements on Facebook.
Yeah, on Facebook and Instagram. And yeah, reach out if we can obviously help in any way. Take one of the courses if it applies to you, particularly if an office worker, there's a great office course on there. We've got a program for new moms on there. And then actually I'll mention as well, we've got a program called Fresh Start on there that if you're someone who has been to their doctor and their doctor has said that you need to start moving more, you can check out an organization in Alberta called Prescription to Get Active, and they can prescribe you Fresh Start, our Fresh Start program, and you'll get it for free. So that's a pretty cool opportunity for folks who really need that.
That's super cool. I have a family member that I think should probably, I think I should do it. I know a couple of people that could probably use the Fresh Start.
Yeah. And that program's just amazing for anyone who is either intimidated by exercise or feel like it's not for them or feels like they just can't do it. It's a really low barrier to entry program. It gets you moving 3 times a day, 7-minute microdoses. And then we have some behavioral intervention stuff in there through an email campaign. And they just slowly build that up. It lasts 21 days. So you have to commit to moving 21 minutes a day for 21 days. You'll come out of it moving a lot better. And building what we were talking about from the beginning is like a new habit that's going to be applied consistently, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you can get that one for free if your doctor prescribes it to you. It's prescriptiontogetactive.com. You can go to them.
Okay, then I don't know. That's really cool. And we'll put in the links and all the descriptions here on Spotify and on our Facebook that we put out and everything like that. But yeah, other than that, thank you very much, Dan, for joining me today.
It's good catching up with you. I will have to learn a little bit more about the real estate business from you here one of these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And if you ever want to jump on again, if you have anything you want to promote, definitely you're doing something good. So that's a real positive thing. And especially nowadays when I think we should be looking at our health more. And when we kind of have the opportunity to do that, you know, we have a lot of the distractions are down, right? Going out and watching a game, you know, can't really do that. Or, you know, there's, you know, let's pick up some healthy habits.
That's right. Get those habits going. And then, yeah, like one thing I had last year before I could watch a game is I'd have to do myself a 7-minute microdose before I turned the TV on. So just like little things like that, you can start incorporating. And then all of a sudden you get to your end of your day and you're like, huh, I just did an hour of movement that was never existed in my day-to-day before, but now it does because I've built these in. So yeah, that's all there. Can we sidebar for one quick minute?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay, I wanted to mention the Great Canadian Comeback.
Oh yeah, let's do you want, we got all the time in the world. Okay. let's do this. Cool. Great Canadian Comeback.
So this, I'm working with a few creatives that came to me with this idea, and we're not even sure what it's going to be yet. But the goal of the Great Canadian Comeback is going to be to support Canadian businesses and help build awareness around this idea of unity and coming together towards a greater good. So the idea of the program is we've got these creatives ready to create stories for Canadian businesses and then promote it under the Great Canadian Comeback banner is kind of the idea of it all. Sure. So if we know any businesses or someone's looking for some marketing support and that kind of thing, that's what we're trying to do with that. And again, we're viewing it as trying to create a daily dose of positivity that's, you know, Canadiana focused.
Yeah.
Right? because we get so much, you know, you get the daily COVID numbers, you get the daily story on the business that closed, you get the daily story of employees who were laid off, and but we're not getting some of the stories of resilience and stories of coming back and an excitement to make a comeback. So that's what that's all about.
Yeah. And you are, what you surround yourself with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very dangerous thing with the media, with, you know, how negativity sells.
Yeah.
And you're consumed by it. So you wonder why people are walking around depressed, and people are like
it's depressing. If you read the news, or watch it, it's depressing.
Yeah. That you need that. You need the feel good stories. I mean, and it's, you know, there's one thing about being feel good and oblivious, but like feel good and like supportive and being like, hey, there's this cool new company, or there's Seven Movements, let's support them. Or let's,
yeah,
you know, there's Mike Miles Kickboxing, which has been around for ever and a day. And, you know, all the advances he made within the martial arts, you know, community here. And, you know, there's all sorts of other, you know, Champions Creed is great too. And
there's so many companies that are like fighting back through this thing, and not fighting back in a terrible way like is happening in some parts of the country, but fighting back in the sense that they're going to come back, and they're going to come back a lot stronger. And we want to support that and get Canadian consumers connected with Canadian businesses and allow it all to flourish together.
Exactly. Nurture it. Nurture it, because it's, yeah. And fighting back. Yeah. Not in a dissent, not in a dissent kind of way, but in a innovation, right?
That's like, right. There's a certain amount of dissent I get and I understand. And actually it's probably needed, because you need to pull on both ends of the string to make sure that there isn't overreach one way or the other.
100%.
What we're trying to really encourage more is what you're talking about, is stories of innovation, stories of coming back and being resilient, stories of perspective. The first blog we put on the Great Canadian Comeback was a story about World War I, where Canadians were really down and out and didn't fall down and came back. So like you say, we're not sure where we're going to take this yet. I've got some pretty cool creative people who are excited about different projects they can do with the Great Canadian Comeback. Love to hear from anyone in the audience who has ideas or businesses that want to funnel a campaign through this idea. We'll just work with them and see what we can do with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I've had a couple posts, and I get it. There's people that work at, we'll call it Wally World and the other big box shops that I'm like, you know, I post a couple times out there about boycotting them and maybe just supporting the local guys. But it's like, we all know that the big guys are going to survive, and the big guys are always going to be there.
They've got the cash flow. And what I don't think some people don't understand is the inherent unfairness of how things have been applied. And maybe it's had to be that way from a true public health policy perspective, and I understand that. Yeah. But a little more empathy going both ways would go a long ways of people being like, okay, like, I understand why these people would be super upset. I understand why the guy in Ontario there was melting down and kept his restaurant open and defied what he did. I get where he was. I don't agree with what he did, but I get why he got there. And well, I think he just kept opening when he wasn't supposed to, just rejecting all public health measures altogether. And then kind of the hoax crowd came out and, you know, made a scene. Again, I try and have a bit of empathy for those folks, and that they're scared. There's fear and anger driving a lot of that behavior as well.
You do have to have both sides of it to prevent overreach, right? I mean, do I necessarily agree with people that are on the extreme side, or, you know, there's been a couple of things where I'm like, this isn't my hill to die on, you know, like if I have to wear a mask and go in and buy a quart of milk, you know, if that's going to make somebody feel better, 100%. If that's all it does, I think maybe it does more than that, but who knows, right? But if all it does is make somebody feel a little safer, hey, you know what? Like, let's come together. Let's not be divisive on this one. Right.
Well, and have some empathy for the public officials who are having to make public health policy decisions that aren't easy.
And,
they're not like, what do they have to stand to gain by shutting people down and not allowing people to open? And like, there's nothing to gain there. They're trying to do their best. So like, it needs to go that way. And then they also need to understand that when they say things like we're all in this together, it doesn't feel that way for someone who had to shut their business down. while someone else has a position of power and is telling them we're all in this together. It doesn't feel like they are.
Yeah.
So there just has to be, I think, just better understanding on both sides. And it's why we created this thing and why I'm sort of excited I got asked to be a part of it, this great Canadian comeback, because it's all centered in positivity and bringing both of those factions of people together and just being like, why don't we just celebrate being Canadian and coming together?
Yeah.
And rallying around things that bring us together, which is all kinds of different things.
And going out for a rip.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever it is, right?
Right. Yeah.
So that's the goal of that and why I'm super pumped about, like you say, being asked to be involved. And yeah, any listener of this podcast that's interested in either getting involved with us or B, having their business promoted through us, just through shout outs or whatever, just let us know. And like I say, it's all going to be centered around positivity and it's not a place to come and argue.
Yeah. Nope. Definitely. Yeah,
Facebook does a great job of that.
Already. Yeah. We don't need any of that. But yeah, I think if there's just a place of positivity, that's super cool.
Yeah.
You know, and support, right? And
yes. So
it could be somebody that just their work and then just people don't maybe, it's so weird for a business or an entrepreneur to admit that they're having trouble. And there's no shame in that ever, but especially now, right? Like it's like
most businesses fail and the great entrepreneurs have all failed.
Yeah.
And it's the innovation creativity that comes out of that as they fail forward and build the next thing or improve on what they were doing that makes all of these interesting things happen. And then from the flip side of that is you have a huge consumer base, especially Canadians, I find, that want to support Canadian businesses. They just don't always know how or where they are or who's connected to who. And just want to like create a space where that happens. I mean, the goal of that platform, we've got a thing in there. You give us their email, you become a member. You just give us your email for free and you become a member of the Great Canadian Comeback. And the goal is to get a large enough sum of people so that when a Canadian business comes to us where they're struggling or need a boost, that we'll have this whole army of people who will go and support them and give them the boost that they need.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, get on there, make sure you sign up, become a member. Like say it's free. All you're going to do is get a weekly email starting in January and it'll be stories of Canadian businesses or businesses to support or artists to support or whatever it might be. I think that's where we're going to go with it. And we have some of the creative professional people who want to help too, so they can help with the campaign.
You know, it's kind of funny because it's very similar to what I want my podcast, or what I wanted my podcast to turn into, is just a way to support local and others, or even independent, right? I mean, it started off as local, but there's like some not so local that I've interviewed as well, but they are very independent, right? And it's helping out the little guy, right? And just like have a good voice for the little guy there.
Yeah, the true entrepreneurs, right? Because they're the ones who drive innovation and change the game and move things forward and employ people in a way that is sustainable versus some of the, like you say, the bigger guys just don't need help.
Yeah.
They're fine. And I get that they employ a ton of people. Great. Wish they'd employ them a little bit better.
Yeah.
But they're doing their thing, but they're not in any sort of trouble at all. In fact, most of them, their profits have gone up during COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen it before. Like, say, I grew up in small town Saskatchewan, and I remember when the Walmart moved in to town, everybody would go there to save a dollar on milk, and then they got super mad when their local grocers shut down and local hardware stores shut down. And it's like, yeah, that's what happens. That's the only place you're going to have. That's the only place you support.
And that's exactly it. And it's about culture, right? Like if you want to go in and you want to know a thing or two about what you're buying, right? I find this with music a little bit. There's the old music stores that were great that you would be able to go into and talk to the guy about, I'm really liking this. I'm really digging on this. Right. What else should I check out? Well, now it's like, there's online and stuff like that too, but It takes the culture out of it, right? Like,
yeah.
So,
well, and I think there's a desire for a little bit of a pushback against moving away from that. Cause you know, I don't know how it is in Calgary, but I know in other places that I've been to, like the small bakeries and the butchers and kind of these little niche industries prior to COVID, obviously, were doing quite well. And people were wanting that type of personalized attention or recommendation. Or to, I always love chatting with the butcher and finding out what I should be doing and which cuts I should be cooking and all that kind of stuff. So
everybody wants to say like, oh, I have a guy, right? Like,
it's like
oh yeah, go to my butcher. He's awesome.
Yeah. Not go, oh, I've got a great link on Amazon to send you to. Like that usually doesn't, it's not as exciting.
Yeah.
I want to go to like Paul or Susan, the butcher. Right?
Yeah.
Totally.
Within the year.
We get this. I'm with you. I'm pretty optimistic about things. And I know it's been a challenge for a lot of people. It's hard to be optimistic, but the light at the end of the tunnel really helps.
Yeah.
Now to like see, okay, this isn't forever. Even from a business perspective, now we can start planning of, okay, I need to survive to here.
Yeah.
Before it was like, I got to just survive. I don't know when the end's going to happen. I don't know if I'll ever be profitable again. Like, this is brutal.
Yeah. I just now need to make it plan.
I just had a great conversation with some folks who had studios and gyms actually, who have been shut down multiple times across different provinces here in Canada. And they're worried. It's like everything in fitness is moving online. And the truth is there's going to be a huge slingshot effect where people want to be back into groups of people and working out again as well.
Yeah.
In combination with like, we're not going that way in seven movements. So it doesn't help me much, but I think it's good. We need more of that. So,
and again, like what I really see with yours is like, it's a huge thing. Like even the guy that maybe does twice a days, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's a perfect supplement for them.
Here's like things that I could do throughout the day. Cause again, had a good conversation with somebody about, we're talking about farmer strength.
Oh yeah. Farm strong.
Yeah. Farm strong. Because you know, so you get the guy that goes to the gym, but the guy that's like farmer strong is like, that's some like superhero shit that's going on there. Because it's just, they're doing that. Like it's that consistency, right?
Well, and it's really interesting. I got to tell this story now, since you brought up Farmstrong is one of the companies, I'll give them a shout out, that we are working with on this home wellness station concept is called Viper Pro.
Okay.
That whole tool, it's this one here. I know your viewers won't be able to see it, but I'll show you, right? You've probably seen it. It's like a big cylindrical tube.
Oh yeah, with like
it's got some handles on it.
Yeah.
So this whole thing, the story of the Viper Pro was the co-founders. One was one of the trainers with the Edmonton Oilers. I don't know if he's still there or not. And Michelle Delcourt. And the story, as I understand it, is they started to notice that in hockey, the farm kids were always pushing around the city kids. But they were better hockey players, but they were just pushing them around a bit. They're stronger.
Yeah.
They started to look at, you know, why are these kids so much stronger than our city kids, and started to look at, you know, their daily movement practices and how they were moving things around. You know, as a kid on the farm, you're tossing bales, you're hauling pails, you're, you know, doing all kinds of different tasks daily.
Mm-hmm.
So they built this tool to mimic some of that loaded movement that develops like odd position strength in someone's body. So, you know, like when we go to the gym quite often, we just train in a pretty linear fashion. We pick things up, we lift it up over our head. We want to put ourselves in weird positions, let's call it under load, like we do on the farm. And that helps build strength through all of these different movement patterns. And that was the idea of that tool anyway. So it was interesting that you brought that up, because I had to tell that story.
Yeah.
Because we're excited to have that product as part of our offering.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It's totally true. And it comes down to that, you know, consistency and those, that two ladders. I'll probably, I put this out through YouTube as well. The YouTube version will come out, you know, in probably a couple months, but yeah, I'll have maybe a picture of this two ladder thing that I have.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. It's super cool. It's a great meme. Like it just is. I would just like I said, like mind blowing, but it's so simple, right? Like,
yeah, the best ones are always right. No, that's great. That's a great way to tie up our conversation, I think.
Absolutely. So until next time, Dan, stay epic. Thanks again for listening to Epic Phelan. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe, give me a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Real Ryan Phelan, and visit my website at thecalgaryrealestateguy.com. Until next time, stay epic.